The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, June 25th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
The Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a mighty
Almighty God, we are in awe of the world you have made, the beauty that is all around us and in all seasons, and that all too often we take for granted. And at times we feel the fury of nature in the form of winds and water or fire, and realize how little power we really have. We are grateful for all the many blessings that we have received. We ask you will fill us with the strength, the courage, and the resolve that we may go humbly into our community and the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord. Strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Righteous run into it, and they are saved. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord Most High. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Righteous run into it, and they are saved.
A reading from Paul to the Romans. Romans 6, 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has any dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus, the Word of God for the people of God.
Death. Dressed for it, aren't I? Death. Did you hear how many times Paul talked about death? In 11 verses, death, dead, dying, dead. Kind of depressing, isn't it? Not really. Or is it? Paul's letter to the church at Rome is Paul's letter to everyone. Paul doesn't leave anybody out in the letter called Romans. He, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, all people. This is the universal. This is Paul's crowning work. But it's written strange. It's written in what's called diatribe. It's a legal kind of argument. He says, should we do this and how should we do that? And then he goes on to point, counterpoint kind of thing and gets to the point through that. So don't get lost in that when you read Romans. I encourage you to read it. But I think I really need to talk about death for a minute. I mean, I want to talk about life, but first, I got to tell you about dying. Are you excited yet? No? You don't know what to expect? Well, let's talk about dying. Original sin entered the world through who? It's a test, 101. Adam, what happened? He ate what he wasn't supposed to eat, right? Now, you need to go back to that for just a minute in your mind at least. I'll take you back there. God told Adam, before Eve was created, by the way, he told Adam, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Okay? Sometime after that, Eve's there with him and they pick some fruit. We don't know if it was an apple, a peach, a pear, or not. We don't know what it was. And they ate. And they died, right? No. they didn't drop dead. But God said that you would die. When you ate of that, you will die. Right? Right? Are you with me? You don't look like it. Man. So Adam and Eve, they ate of that, and they didn't die. But their eyes were opened. And it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and the first thing they noticed, they were naked. It's amazing. The first thing they noticed is they were naked. Then they made them some fig leaves. We don't know. They made clothes out of whatever was handy, probably plucking something that was really close and said, whoo, you know, or whatever they do, you know. And then they go hide themselves from God. Church, where are you going to go that God can't find you? I mean, really. I mean, think about it for a minute. He created it all. He knows the hair on your head. He knows the secret cavernous places, all the things. Where are you going? They go hide. And I love the way the English sort of translates it. Okay. But anyway, you get this image. It's God walking in the cool of the garden. And he's just checking things out, you know. The flowers and the birds and the bees, and he's enjoying his creation, you know. Maybe he's petting a tiger as he goes by in a line on the left. Oh, my, bears and tigers. You know, maybe he's going through, and I don't think there's any mosquitoes yet, you know. I don't think they're gnats and that stuff. I think they come way later. But he's enjoying his stroll in the garden. He goes, I wonder where Adam and Eve went. I don't think so. But he's enjoying the walk, and we're told that he's walking with, and he says, Adam, where are you? And Adam says, I'm hiding. He says, why are you hiding? I was naked. And God said, have you ate of the tree? You know God knew all that stuff, didn't you? I mean, he's just seeing what Adam's going to say. How many of you have done that to your kids? You know, we're God's children, aren't we? You trap them, don't you? You already know, but you're going to give them a chance, right? But you know they're not going to take that chance, don't you? And you can see it in their eyes. They're making up something, the story. Sometimes it's incredible. You know, it's filled with imagination. And you just want to laugh. And then sometimes you want to throttle them. You know? But Adam says, no, I didn't do it. No. Do you know what he did? Do you really know? He blamed God. Go read it. He said, "Who have you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? For I told you not to eat thereof." He said, "It's the woman you gave me. She did it." So what is she? And he said, woman, she don't have a name yet. She don't get that till after they get kicked out of the garden, by the way. Woman, what is this that thou hast done? She said, it was a serpent. Serpent, on your belly for the rest of your days. Adam, come over here. We want to talk about this. Eve, come with him. And he makes them some clothes. And he punishes them. Boots them out of the garden before they eat of the tree of the knowledge, the tree of eternal life, and become like God. So Adam didn't die physically, did he? He didn't die right away. We don't even get the limit on men and women's years until much later, twice. So we need to figure out what is meant by death, because Paul is very familiar, being a Jew among Jews, educated in the temple, a Pharisee among Pharisees, a scribe above all. He knows what death is. So we got to figure out what is death then. It's not the physical dying that happens, but death for the Jewish person, death for Paul writing this, and death for Jews. Jesus, remember, he was a Jew too. Talking about death and life, here they are. Death is separation from God. And separation comes from disobedience. It is separation from God in our relationship with God through sin. And that sin is pride. That sin is pride. So death here isn't the rest in peace death, but the death here is that separation from God. And Paul begins his argument about life and death. And he begins it with talking about sin. For sin, what are the wages of sin? Death. What is sin? Disobedience to God. What is disobedience? What does it lead to? Separation. It leads to death. So now let's get death out of the way and talk about sin for a little while. Maybe that's a better subject. Some people enjoy it more. You can laugh. It's okay. Or maybe you're thinking, I didn't enjoy it so much yesterday. Or, oh, wished I hadn't have enjoyed it so much last night. That preacher's loud this morning. What then are we to say? Should we sin more that grace may abound more? And the Greek here is better. It is heaven forbid. Good old Southern language. Heaven forbid. No. Don't do it. Don't sin because there was a problem in this church. They thought the more you sinned, the more you were forgiven. Well, it's true probably the more you sin, the more you have to be forgiven. But you don't go out to sin so that you can say, God will forgive me. That's kind of like saying, Lord, you know this is true. Somebody asked me, said, Jimmy, what would you do if somebody hurt somebody in your family? You being a pastor and all that. I said, I have to know that God will forgive me because I know what I'll do. That's kind of wrong thinking, isn't it? It's a little backwards, isn't it? That's taking advantage of it, isn't it? That's going out and sinning knowing God will forgive you for it. That's going out and doing it anyway knowing God's going to forgive you. Folks, that's wrong. That's just wrong. We shouldn't sin that grace may abound. We shouldn't test God and make a mockery of the cross of our Christ. That's what we're doing. We're cheapening grace. Intentionally choosing to go do what we know we should not. We ever fussed at our kids along the way or people we know about doing what they knew they shouldn't have done in the first place? God is patient, isn't he? Probably should have smoked me a million times just today. Should we sin? Heaven forbid, no. And if you've been brought into this newness of life, you see, sin, that pride and that rebellion and that separation from God, it's death. It's total death. There isn't any life in it. There isn't life in sin. And separation from God. For God is that who gives life. Sin is dead. How many of you have been around somebody that was living and been around somebody who was alive? You notice there's a difference, don't you? It's kind of like some people who are going on a trip, but they're not enjoying it much. You have to find some trips is getting there. They haven't noticed that the part they're driving through is gorgeous. They're just going through it. They don't see anything. They don't even remember they went. They just remember getting there. You know people who are living, who are existing, but they're not really alive. You know, they're just kind of sucking down air and taking up space. They're just getting through. Maybe they're British, they're just muddling through. Maybe they're just enduring. You know that person who's always a martyr? Have you met them? Come on, you have. They always tell you how bad things are. I mean, by the time you leave, you feel depressed. You know, you need a Valium or smoke a joint or something. I mean, it's bad. You're just wondering how they can make it. And they tell you about all the stuff. And then if you'll stop for just a minute, you think, well, they did that to themselves. You know, don't they know how to say no? Don't they know how to walk away from some of that stuff? You know, that's what Paul's talking about. That's not living. That's existing. They're not alive. They're just here. How many of you have met that person that is alive that no matter what happens, they got a bit of a smile there? You met those? Have you met that person just to understand why they could be happy? I did a funeral this week. And I'm not going to do names and stuff, but the dad was British. And that's why that's kind of in my mind. He was being British at the funeral. You don't show anything. But his son was letting it all hang out. You know? He was tore up because mama was dead, unexpected, you know, and dad's the British stalwart guy dressed, and you know, he's taking it on the chin, you know, and the son's over here just melting. You know, and I'm thinking, Dad, you need to melt. You need to melt. Because as I began to share the stories, Dad never changed. But son started to laugh. He started to remember with joy. In the midst of a funeral service with mom's remains on the table, he began to rejoice. The story is his faith was strong. Not Dad, he said he didn't have any. Didn't believe in it. It's for weak-minded people. Only reason we was having a pastor is because the son had faith. You should do this sometime. You get into some fun situations. Yeah? I did a funeral years ago, and they called me and said, got this situation. This girl's Catholic or Christian, but her family are all Muslims. I said, okay, thank you. I'll do it. Went to this meet with the family. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of bad talk. They're going to burn the school down. She died. She choked on her own vomit from being drunk at a sorority party. And they were going to find out who was responsible. They had all these plans. And I'm listening to all this, and I'm thinking, I hope I don't mess up at this funeral. You know, they'll come to my house late at night or whatever. It was awkward. But I found out that Dad's group was Muslim, Mom's group was Christian, and we wound up having a celebration of life. We brought in pictures and souvenirs and made a little video. We had a celebration. I'm not judging Muslim in what I'm saying. I'm just saying there was two different groups there. One group that was alive and one group that was just living. How many of you are living, and how many are alive? Joanne, I think that was your prayer request, that they be alive, not just living, that their faith be there. In order to be alive, you first have to be born again. And to be born again, you have to die to sin. In other words, you've got to humble yourself before God and not say it's someone else's fault. Not pass the buck and blame it on the woman or the serpent. But you've got to take ownership and responsibility. One of the things that I get asked from time to time, and I got asked this twice this week, why should I be Christian? Do you know what my answer was? Because I was thinking about this sermon a little bit. Do you want to live or die? Now. Paul says that if we die with Christ, in other words, if we let sin die, we are born a new creation. We are reborn. You can't be reborn and receive new life until you let go of this one. You got to let go of the sin of your life and the lives of others. You got to let some stuff go. Anybody carry anything you need to turn loose of this morning? You got anything that you need to let go and let God have? Give it up. Humble ourselves before God and admit I can't make it. Pastor, does that mean I'm never going to sin again? No, it means you need to stay in a constant position of humility, humbleness, and prayerfulness that'll give you release from that sin, release from that stuff, and give you life. Life, that you can be alive in the midst of your worst day. Paul says, give praise and rejoice in all things. He also writes in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. How in the world can this? Because he knows he is alive. There isn't a physical death to worry about, and the spiritual death has been renewed. He's been born again, a new life, a new man, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We need to be alive, church. We don't need to be mopey, droopy, long-chinned, long-faced existers. We need to be living despite the problems around us, despite the shortcomings of our own life, because it isn't about what I have done or what I can do, but it's about accepting what Jesus did. Because if I rely on my own strength, it's going to be a mess. But if I rely on His, I can live. I was talking to Tom a minute ago and had some tests and stuff. You know, I'm running on about 29, 30% of heart a few weeks ago, right? So there's 30% of me hanging around up here. Is that a lot, Phil? Not much, is it? But now I'm up to about 34 or 35. Man, I'm going up there, aren't I? I might optimistically get maybe 40, 41 or 42. But you know what? I'm still alive. I'm still alive. People get down about that stuff, you know? Have you met them? They get a little bad diagnosis, and what do? I'm still above ground. And I'm going to praise Him while I can. I'm going to live with Him. I'm alive. He's forgiven me my sins. Death don't worry me. You know, so what? It worries Carrie. You know, worries family. Not the death part or the eternal part, but the what now. Are you alive this morning? Or are you living? My answer to them is, do you want to live or do you want to be alive? That's our question, isn't it? We can only be alive in Christ Jesus. Alive in Christ Jesus. Last verse in 11, we find him summing it up. So also, now you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You have to settle it, accept what he did in humility. Confess what you have not done and maybe what you did do. Humble ourselves and accept Christ's sacrifice, for he died for the sins of all once and was resurrected, that we may have life, abundant life, and that we may be alive, not just living. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a minute. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and I'm going to ask you to look inside yourself for just a minute and ask yourself, are you alive or are you living? Have you put to rest that sinful side in confessing it and accepting the sacrifice of Christ? Have you let that side go to accept the new life that is in Christ Jesus? In other words, have you been born again? It's the most important question I could ever ask you to reflect on. Because I want you to live alive, not exist, muddle through, get by. I want you ready to face the troubles and the trials and the joys and the celebrations alive. I want you to not fear the things of this world, no matter what comes at you, that you would find yourself alive. Church, the world needs to see people that are alive witnesses for Jesus Christ. Why should I want to be a Christian? So that you can be alive and live, truly live alive. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to leave that with you for just a minute. Pastor, I have some needs and concerns. Maybe I didn't lift them earlier. Just ask for your prayers this week. If you would, just lift your hand so I can pray for you. Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm living or alive, pray for me this week. If that's you, slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Pastor, just some stuff going on. Not sure about some stuff, hard decisions. And would you pray for me this week? If that'd be you, lift your hand this morning. Pastor, I know people in my life that need some special prayers. I don't want you to tell y'all about it, but just pray that I can be a witness to them, an alive witness. If that's you, slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to pray for others to know the Christ I know and to be alive. If you'll do that, slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Now, gracious and loving God, may you hear our hearts and our prayers this morning. May we be alive in Christ Jesus. And may that life be the light that others would see. May He truly be alive in us, and us alive in Him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
As a church, may we be alive in the world around us, with Christ in our hearts, Christ living through us and giving us life. So may we go to be alive, not just living, that others may see Christ alive in us. And now may the peace and grace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.